This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the August 8th edition of Invest Talk. I appreciate you being with me. Above average investing for the average investor is what we discuss every day. Our goal, my goal, is to make you above average, not just average. We want to bring information, perspective that makes a difference to you. And we try to answer all your questions live during this hour, 4 to 5 Pacific time, Monday through Friday. Or you can leave your questions on the 24-hour listener line, and we'll get to it. 888-99-CHART. We make an effort to try to get to it the very next day. And we'll go to that in just a second. Pop quiz. What is the smartest move to make with your money? Betting on the stock market, investing in real estate, saving a bank account, or maybe bonds, corporate bonds or government bonds. Getting your money priorities straight is going to be our main talking point today. But first, let's go ahead and check our 24-hour listener line calls. It's open for your questions anytime you want to ask.
Even Justin, this is Justin from New Jersey. I just had a question regarding SEP IRAs. If I establish and contribute to my own SEP IRA as a self-employed individual, am I required to also contribute to my employee's SEP IRA or establish one for them? Also, I believe if I contribute to one employee, I have to contribute to them all pretty similar amounts. But I just wanted to verify. Thanks, and look forward to listening to the answer on the program.
Okay, the quick answer is yes. But a SEP is really established for you, individual, self-employed person. It's really not set up for you and your employees. It's really if you're just self-employed and you're the only employee. If you're going to do that kind of thing, then you're talking about 401k, or if it's private company, or 403b, or 457. So a SEP IRA, yeah, if you have a SEP IRA for you and you have employees, I don't know the exact rules, but you have to contribute for your employees as well. They have to have their own accounts. But I don't know all the rules. You talk to an accountant about that. Tax person, not me. I manage money, but I do believe that is true. 888-99-CHART is our number. Welcome to the August 8th edition of Invest Talk, and I appreciate you being with me. Yesterday, Justin talked about the two types of investing strategies, passive and active. So what do active managers do? We can really break it down into two management approaches, top-down or bottom-up. Remember, we're talking about active. Passive is when you just buy an index and you hold it. Top-down managers, the top-down managers start by looking at the market as a whole, the whole market. Then determine which industries and sectors are likely to do well given the current economic cycle you're in. And that's kind of difficult because you've got to recognize the current cycle, where you are in the current economic cycle, the beginning, the middle, or the end, and that's pretty hard. And once these choices are made, then they select specific stocks based on which companies are likely to do best within a particular industry. Okay, so they're looking at the whole market, top down. Bottom up. This approach ignores market conditions, doesn't even care. Instead, companies are evaluated based on the strength of their financial statements, product pipeline, or some other criteria, fundamental criteria of the company. The idea is that strong companies are likely to do well no matter what market or economic conditions prevail. Top down, bottom up. Now, we believe that in the long run, the market is extremely efficient. Therefore, passive management would be ideal. There's nothing wrong with passive management. However, in the short run, the market is inefficient as new data is uncovered, and active management is better suited for that. So if I've said this over and over and over and over. If you promise to leave your account alone 10, 15, 20 years, passive management is fine. Not a problem. If you're approaching retirement, you can't be passive anymore. Now, as each strategy has advantages, a combination of both makes good sense, to both the top-down and bottom-up. You don't, you know, each strategy has its own benefits and its own pluses and minuses. So don't have to exclude one or the over the other. Got any questions about these approaches or anything else? You give me a call. Our 24-hour list line is always open. Let's go to Aaron in New Jersey.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Good. Thanks for the call.
I'm calling to follow up on a call from a couple of weeks ago on AAWW.
Okay.
This is a freight airline that has that Amazon has an option to buy. And so what I was curious about, Amazon has warrants, I believe, in the high 30s, and the stock is now trading somewhere in the 50s. So my question was, How does that get factored into the company's valuation? It seems that if Amazon were to exercise their warrants, there would be a substantial dilution of the stock, and it wouldn't be to investors' benefits. So I'm curious how that works, if you can give me a general understanding.
Okay, just for everybody else, Aaron, a warrant, and we haven't really talked much about that, a warrant is the right to buy a stock. Many times when the companies first start out or need funding or they have a situation where they really would like to have some additional financial strength, they may go to Amazon or somebody else and say, hey, what if we give you the ability to buy a stock at a certain price over the next 5 years? Here, you know, would that be something worth investing? Then buy, if you'll buy 10% of our outstanding shares or 3% of our outstanding shares, we'll give you another 3% of warrants to buy. That's not a warrant. A warrant is just a promise that you can buy a stock at a certain price within a certain period of time. So you're telling me that, Aaron, that they have warrants at $30. How Amazon values that is they have to mark that at market value. They have to mark it at market value and put it on their books. So they're going to say it's worth, because Atlas Air Freight World right now is trading at $64 a share. So those warrants are worth $64. And they had to carry that on their books. That's how they do it. They don't get to discount it. They don't get to pretend it's not there. Now for Atlas, remember, these are warrants to buy shares or get shares offered to them from Atlas at $30. So they have 24 million shares in the float right now, and 25 million shares outstanding. So I wonder how many shares they have, because they only have a million shares, let's say, in their bank that they could offer. If the warrants were for like 3 million shares, then they're going to have to dilute everybody, right? Three more and more shares. That's what, about 12, 13% more shares in the float. Technically, it would reduce your value of the stock by 12 or 13%. It may not in reality, because you know it doesn't necessarily have to, because of what people think it's worth. You know, so did I answer the question?
Clear. So the warrant is to buy it at the price when they exercise the warrant. So
yep.
it wouldn't be buying it at a discount, is what you're saying.
No, it would be buying it at a discount to the current price if the warrant is you can buy these stocks at $30 a share, right? You have to carry
right.
So it is a discount of the current price, which is $64. So you make immediate profit of $34 when you do that.
Right. So if you're not Amazon, that's if you're a shareholder that you know that doesn't have these warrants,
yep.
You'd
be diluted.
Your shares would be diluted, or you would
yeah.
lose, correct?
That's correct. That is 100% correct. That is correct. You're going to be diluted. Thanks, Aaron. Appreciate the call. James, if you'll hold on, James Sonoma, we'll get to you next, I promise. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. We're live 4 to 5 Pacific time, 888-99-CHART, how to get through to us. Let's talk about your money. Are you going to change your investing strategy in retirement or stay on the same track? Let's talk about it on Invest Talk. Chart. We're going to talk to James, as I said. How are you doing, James?
How are we doing there, Steve? Today I'm going to talk about Paycheck.
Okay.
I've owned it for years and years. I bought it in the mid-30s. That'll give you an idea how long I've owned it. It's in my IRA. And I'm just looking, because everything's so high these days, when I see something that takes a knockdown like they took, I'm thinking there's an opportunity to add to my position. You know, not a tremendous amount, just to put in a little bit more just to get the dividend. I'm a dividend investor. I've had it for years. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at that, and I don't see any reason why not to do it. The price has gone down 6%, 7%. The dividend seems safe. They have no debt. Why I shouldn't do it.
Let me ask you this. How much of your portfolio, on a percentage-wise, do you have paychecks? Because you know I talk about proper diversification. And if you have more than 5% in your portfolio, then I would say, no, you don't do it.
No, it's not even close.
Okay. So paychecks, let's look at the numbers. They pay a yield, dividend yield of 3.6%, and that dividend yield is not in danger or anything. That's a very stable yield, and I don't see that in any way, since you're a dividend investor, we'll talk about that. They're going to make $2.37 this year, $2.56 next year, 8% up this year, 8% up next year. Sales are growing 6 to 8%, very, very steady. As long as the economy is doing well, jobs are being produced, paychecks, it's just going to keep growing 6 to 8% because that's what they've done for years and years and years and years. Management owns 12%, which is pretty darn high for a $20 billion company. That means they're very focused. All their wealth is tied into it, so they're not going to do anything stupid. Return on equity is very high at 41. So the only bad thing I could say, James, is it's a little bit expensive for the $55 stock. You're going to make $2.56, so that means it's a 20 PE. But you know, when I say that expensive compared to the normal market PE, not expensive compared to everything else going on today. Okay, so I see no reason why not to do it on this pullback. Now, I'm not sure you want to do it today because it's still falling. So you want to kind of wait till it settles down a little bit, maybe going sideways.
I'd put a buy order on it about 50. I think I calculated 54.75 or something like that.
Okay. Yeah, I think it won't go below 52.53. I don't think it looks like really strong support there. So if it gets there, I don't think it's going to go below that. Appreciate the call. Thanks, James. Okay, Thomas Hayward. How you doing, Thomas?
Fine. How are you today?
Good. How's it going?
Thanks for your call, Steve. Thank you for answering my call.
No problem.
I am curious on the previous phone call regarding warrants and options. A question came up. What is the difference between the two?
Okay.
They have similar functions.
They do have similar functions, and that's very astute. They do. A warrant is the right to buy a stock at a certain price. An option could do the exact same thing. A warrant expires, and an option can do the very same thing. An option usually expires the third Friday of the month. A warrant could last years. You could have a warrant, and that could be good for 10 years. Okay? So the only real difference there is a warrant is longer term. It's really long term. Okay?
Very good. Okay. All right. That makes sense.
Thanks, Thomas. Appreciate the call. So the options you can buy and sell, a warrant is usually issued to somebody from the company. And options are more publicly traded. Warrants aren't really publicly traded, even though you could sell your warrant to somebody else if you want. Very good, very astute. They are very similar. This is InvestTalk. I'm Steve Peasley. What type of investments are available to the average person? And which type should we stay away from? I'll do my best to answer any of my questions. 888-99-CHART, how to reach me directly, 4 to 5 Pacific Time on Investor.
Hi, Steve. Hi, Justin. It's Henning from Kyiv in Ukraine. Thank you for the great show. My question today is about Wyndham Worldwide Corporation, ticker symbol WYN. I'm thinking of taking a significant position for probably the next 7 to 10 years, and I was just wondering whether you had a view on entry price and how safe the dividend is. Thank you very much for the great show and have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
Okay, this is Wyndham Worldwide, symbol WYN, offers vacation ownership interests, property management for resorts, as well as franchising 8,035 hotels. It's a $10 billion company. It's big. They're going to make $6.19 this year and then $7.05. That was up 8% this year and 14% next year. Sales growth has been hanging around 1% up until the most recent quarter, the one I just reported, and sales were up 5%. So the numbers look pretty good. The stock has been in a long-term rally, moved from 65 or so, couple in November of last year. Now it's at 100. So a pretty decent move. It's kind of flattened out. Pays a 2.3% dividend, as I said, and it can afford that dividend easily because it's going to make $7. 2.3 of $100 is $2.30, which is way below the $7 they make. So they can raise the dividend. So on a dividend basis, it's pretty safe. They do have a lot of debt. Cash flow is 841. So the debt is the only question mark. But remember what they do. You know, they own properties. So they have mortgages on those properties. So it's really the debt equity ratio that you want to find out about it before I make that buy. Long term, it's been around a long time. I mean, I would love to buy it back down in the $65 area, but you're not going to get it down there. You might get a pullback into like the mid-80s. I could see that happening. But, you know, who knows for sure? It's a good, solid company. There was insiders buying it when it was around 65. No, insiders are not buying it now. Management owns 2%, by the way. Funds own about 56%. And the funds are buying. Good, solid company. Wyndham Worldwide Corporation. Getting your money priorities straight, that's one of our talking points. Getting your money priorities straight. Which ones, where should you invest? I think that's a pretty important talking point. What do I want to talk about? I like to talk about the cap ratio. You know what the cap ratio is? C-A-P-E. C-A-P-E. Cyclical adjusted P-E ratio. Cap ratio. It's waving a little red flag. I'm bringing up the red flags as I see them, everybody. What stock sector will lead next? See, it's not all bad. What stock sector will lead next? Because, if we don't get a decent correction or a bear market, there is one particular sector that should lead us going forward. I'm talking about that. And then finally, jobs openings hits a record number in July. Did you know that? Job openings hit a record. I'm talking about a record forever. Ever. It's never been this high. Why do we have a lot of companies saying they can't find good people? Well, and that's the third thing I want to talk about, or the fourth, if you consider, the one main talking point, getting your money priorities straight. What do you guys want to talk about? That's what this show is about. Your calls to me is what drives the show. I will talk about all these things because I find this stuff fascinating. I find the market fascinating, interesting, super interesting, and that's why I do this. Even if I wasn't doing this as my career, I still would do it because I think it's so interesting. Anyways, let's get back to our 24-hour listening line and pick up another question. How about, remember the number is 888-99-CHART, and this person wants to talk about EGO.
Hi, this is Jack from Minneapolis. I have a question about Eldorado Gold Miners, EGO. What do you think of adding more to it if you own it at this level? Thank you very much.
It's awfully inexpensive at this point. EGO is a Canadian company acquiring, exploring gold properties in Turkey, China, Brazil, Romania, and Greece. And the big problem has been Greece for them. Because they had a mining license. They were mining there several years ago. Greece came in and said, took it away from them when they were having all those financial troubles. So they're trying to get that up and running again. It has fallen steadily for the last 3 months, actually since last October. We own a small position in this company, EGO. They're going to make 4 cents this year and 16 cents in 2018. Okay? They made 8 cents last year. So that's why you've seen this fall off. Now, is it a company you should be in? It's a pretty high risk play, and I know that, and I fully cognizant of it, as long as you understand that the risks involved, is selling for $1.90, and you would think that that's a penny stock, but it's a $1.3 billion company. It's not. It's a small company, not a penny stock. They're making money. They've made money every year forever. And I'm thinking that this is should be the low point, but you never no one really knows for sure. I kind of like that possibility, though. I do. Plus, it's a defensive play. We're at the halfway mark. Plenty of time to get your question into the program. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, and you can reach me right now at 888-99-CHART.
Our podcast continues next. First, good reason number 5 for a portfolio checkup with Steve. Steve says that many portfolios he looks at are weighted in just one or two sectors. A diverse mix of market sectors is so important to the health of a retirement portfolio. Steve can help you reorganize your retirement portfolio. He can make suggestions about the sectors of the future. And if you'd like, a KPP financial program that fits your goals and your life situation. There's never a cost for InvestTalk listeners and no sales pitch or obligation of any kind ever. To schedule your one-on-one conversation with Steve, just go to investtalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab and then Portfolio Review, or you can call 888-99-CHART and follow the prompts. And now let's continue with the podcast. Now we continue with InvestTalk. Financial advisor Steve Peasley is ready for your money question. Maybe it's about reverse mortgages. Our direct line is 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. Let's talk to Jerry in Palo Alto. How you doing, Jerry?
Good. How are you? I'm back to work and listening to you every day.
Well, I appreciate it. Good work is good. Okay, yeah. Work is a good problem, okay? It's good.
Well, yeah, I'm an educator, so I was off for a month.
Oh, okay, good. You had a good time off, yeah. I hope.
Yeah, good enough. So, Teva, obviously, you probably talked about it for the last few weeks since I wasn't listening, but the bloodbath, I hope, is over, and I'm guessing someone's ready to jump back in at some point soon, or what do you think?
That's what I'm hoping to, because I own it, as you probably know. Every once in a while I get caught with one of these darn things. I use stronger language, but I'm on the radio. It really is frustrating for me because it was really a good price at $30. Now here it is at $18. So is it a good price at $18? Well, let's look at the fundamentals even after their recent earnings announcement. Now, from the recent earnings announcement, you would think that they had a terrible quarter. The truth is they did not. Sales went up 13% this quarter, this most recent quarter. Sales went up. Profits went down from $1.06 for the March quarter to $1.02 per share for June quarter. Down, which is not good. And why did the stock get crushed? Because they cut their dividend by 75%. That dividend is not going to be 5%. Okay, that's not going to be that. It's going to be like 1% or 2%, Right. Okay? So what is $1.02? That's $4 plus, and it's a stock selling for $18. So that means it's like a 5 PE, 4 or 5 PE, and the range is 4 to 13. Return on equity is 16% still, and they're the world's largest generic drug maker. I think if you be patient, I don't think I'd buy it today, Jerry, but I think it's going to bounce. It looked like it was going to bounce today. It was up 3% or so at one point today, then gave that back. So it looks like the sellers are being flushed out and we're getting close to being done with them. But I'd give it a few more days before I picked it up.
Gotcha.
Okay?
All right.
Jerry, appreciate the call. Good. That's Teva Pharmaceuticals. TEVA, it's out of Israel, the world's largest generic drug maker, and they have issues. Remember, they don't still have their permanent CEO. They have issues, and we all knew that. I just didn't think they were going to cut the dividend by such an amount. And the reason why they cut it, what did they say they were going to do with that money that they were going to pay us in the dividend? They're going to pay down debt. That's not a bad thing. But they're going to we have to get through this time. It's very painful because we own this, and I thought it was a good buy, you know, in the $28 to $30 area. And I bought it. So, you know, I put my money where my mouth is. And I try to admit when there's someone calls up and they talk about a stock, if I own it, I try to admit my mistakes. So that's why I stress never buy more than about 3% of any one stock of your portfolio, because then it won't kill you if something bad like this happens. 888-99-CHART. Okay, let's talk about what you should do with your money. Should you leave it in the stock market? Should you buy stocks? Should you put it in cash? Should you buy bonds? Should you, you know, buy CDs? What should you do with your money? Okay. We all know that stocks are risky. We know that. Okay. But if you, any length of period of time, no matter how risky they are, if you buy stocks, your returns are going to be far better than any other asset. Any other financial asset, even real estate. The issue is how long can you leave it alone in the market? And that, because short period of times, and I'm talking about short period of times being a year, 2 years, 3 years, the market could be down, could not give you any returns, returns could be bad. But over any lengthy period of time, the stock market has always been the best performers. The second best is bonds, and they're not even 50% of stocks as far as returns, not even up to 50% of their stock. Now, should you be buying stocks today? Well, that's hard to know, but how long is your outlook? How long can you leave it alone? If you tell me 10 years, yeah, you can buy stocks today. If you tell me 2 years, I say, well, you might want to wait for a better opportunity because they're pretty pricey. It's that kind of thing. It's still the best place to be by far. Even with, you know, the problems that I see happening or the valuations being extended, even with all that, it's still the best place to be long term. Let's go to Wendy in Chino Hills. How you doing, Wendy?
I'm doing good. How are you, Steve?
I am good. I thank you for the call.
Great. I want to ask you about Gentex today. GNTX?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm currently holding it, but what's their future prospect, like growth and everything?
Okay. Gentex Corporation, everybody, GNTX, it is a New Zealand company. No, I'm sorry. It's out of Zeeland, Michigan. So it's a U.S. company. I thought it was New Zealand. It's Zeeland, Michigan. It's a whole headquarters. Manufactures automatic dimming rearview mirrors and electronics and garage door openers for the automotive industry. Okay, so it's attached, Wendy. You know right then it's attached to the auto industry. Therefore, it's a cyclical stock. So if the auto industry does well, this will probably do well. They do poorly, this will do poorly. So you kind of have to watch the auto industry and the economic cycle that we're in to see if this is a good place to buy it. It's going to make $1.27 a share this year and then $1.39 next year. That's up 7% this year, 9% next year. And it's growing. The growth rate went down. It's still rising, but it was only rose 5% this most June quarter, the one just reported. Before that, it grew 12% in March and 4% in December and 10% in September. So, you know, it's still growing, just growing a little bit less. It went as high as $21.75, then fell down just recently to 17, and today it's at 17.44. And this looks like pretty strong support at the number it's at now. Okay, so it looks like it bounced off strong support. So I kind of like it right now. $1.39 it's going to make, and it's a $17 stock. So that means the PE is only like, 12, 13? And the five-year range is 12 to 22. Return equity is high at 19. So this is, and it pays a 2.3% dividend. This is a pretty good price to buy it at, Wendy, right in here.
Okay.
If you own it, okay. I wouldn't get rid of it.
Yes.
I would not.
Okay.
Okay.
Perfect. I just want to make sure. Thank you.
Thank you, Wendy. And that was Gentex. Gentex. Now, remember, it's attached to the auto industry, but I think the auto industry is pretty healthy. I don't think that, you know, the economy is pretty healthy. The auto industry is pretty healthy. You know, yeah, it, yeah, I think it's a decent price. And it's already given up, you know, a good, what, 12, 15%? Course, if the market tanks, this will go down with it. But as far as valuations and a good pullback, that's what you're looking at. At the heart of a good professional relationship is trust. Trusting that your financial advisor, people like me, is looking out for you, people like you, not for themselves. KPP Financial, my firm, is a registered investment advisor firm, and being a fiduciary, which all registered investment advisors are, they are required to make the best possible decisions for their clients. We're supposed to do that. And being that the principal, me, I invest my own money, me and Justin do that, in the same program, same stock, same price as you, same percentage, we try to give that little extra insurance that we are putting you first. Now, if you'd like to see the investment programs offered by KPP Financial, just go to the Investments tab on InvestTalk.com.
How much time does it take to properly manage a retirement portfolio? There are so many questions. Do you need a living trust? How much life insurance should you have? Should beginners start out with individual stocks? How much of my portfolio should be in dividend-paying stocks? All important questions. And if you're looking for answers, you're welcome to ask your financial questions right now, the ones important to you, at 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Steve or Justin. Love your show. I had a question a week ago. You guys, Steve was talking about the VIX being at an all-time low, and I was just wondering with the, well, the rules of your show, if you can make recommendations of just general ways to play it. If, I don't know if there's, I know you can't buy the VIX, but if there's actual, like, ETFs out there that actually buy or track the VIX, if there's any way, because the VIX being at an all-time low, kind of anticipating things getting a little crazier in the next 6 months at some point. Does this look like there's a way you can actually buy into something that tracks the VIX to try to catch an upside if things get a little bit more volatile in the market the next 3 to 6 months? Thanks for input. I'll watch for and listen to it on the next future podcast. Thanks.
The VIX is still fairly low, but not nearly as an all-time low. It popped up. It's at 10.96. Actually, you know, the all-time low is at 9, so it's kind of moved up, the VIX. The VIX is a volatility index. It is what it's commonly called the fear gauge. It rises or spikes when there's a lot of fear, and it falls very low when there's no fear. And there is a VIX ETF. VXX is the symbol. But it does not track the VIX very well. Look at the VIX itself chart, and then go look at the chart of the ETF that supposedly tracks the VIX, and you'll find over the last year, the chart that the ETF, VXX, has gone down, 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 while the actual VIX has gone sideways. So there's no good way to try to track the VIX and invest in the VIX. The ETFs are the closest we have, and they're not very good. In fact, I would say they are poor. Just compare the two charts, one-year chart for each. VXX is the ETF, and then the dollar sign VIX is the actual VIX. And most, if you can go to stockcharts.com, which is a free charting program, and put in those two symbols, VXX and dollar sign VIX. Dollar sign VIX is the actual VIX. VXX is the ETF for the VIX, for the S&P 500. And you'll see immediately, gee, that doesn't track it very good. Okay. CAP, C-A-P-E, CAP ratio. C-A-P-E means cyclical adjusted P-E ratio. Okay, these levels that it's at right now have not been seen since the dot-com era and/or 1929. Only three times in history has the CAP, C-A-P-E, CAP, cyclical-adjusted P-E, cyclically adjusted P-E, ever been over 30. 1929, 2000 was 44.20 at 2000. 1929, it was 32.56. And today, it's 30.49. Only three times in history has it been above 30. I think that's a little red flag, by the way. Now, remember, every time it has been above 30, every time it has only been twice before today, the market has crashed. 1930, from the 1929 high, the market crashed terribly. In 2000, when the dot-com era, the market crashed terribly in 2003. Try to remember that the VIX was high in 2000, but the market didn't crash till 2003. That was three more years after it peaked. So it doesn't happen immediately, but it does happen, and it's going to happen, and I just can't tell you when. Don't think we know. We don't know. No one knows from what point. All I can do is report. This is a red flag. All I can do is report the stats. Now remember, the market was down today. Dow was down 32, the Nasdaq down 13, and the S&P down 6. But it was up. It was a pretty volatile day. Up and down, up and down. We're here for you. Beginner experience questions are welcome. 888-99-CHART. That's our anytime number.
Hi, great show. I love it. My question is, if there's a bubble in bonds, which I've heard some talk about, would short-term bond funds be safer since they keep being able to reload as maturity dates are reached? And then also, I heard about a bond fund on the show a week or two ago, PONDX, and I believe you'd mentioned maybe they short some bonds as well as our long bonds, and maybe that would be a safe play if there is a bond bubble. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, the shorter maturity bond funds would do much better than intermediate and much, much better than long-term maturity bond funds. So if you're going to buy a bond fund, keep it short. Keep it short, very short. And the PODNX is the PIMCO Income Fund, and I'm not sure how it's going to react with interest rates rising. I'm not sure. I would tell you all bond funds will react poorly when interest rates go up, but I don't think the rate, think about it this way. The Fed has already raised the rate several times, and it really hasn't hurt the bond funds because those funds are still doing well, and the Fed has raised rates. But there will be a point where they'll revert to the mean, the norm, where interest rates will go back to being normal. And when that happens, the current bond funds are going to have struggle. And yes, the shorter term bond funds would do much better than the longer term bond funds. Much better. May not make money, but you won't lose much either. You're listening to Invest Talk, and we're listening to you 24 hours a day. You can ask your questions anytime. And as a matter of fact, we can talk together live 4 to 5 Pacific time, Monday through Friday. We try to get your questions in always. 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Steve or Justin. I'm a new investor, 18 years old, from Chicago, Illinois. Don't have a lot of money, but I wanted to get started and invest in dividends. I was looking at GLAD, G-L-A-D. Would like to know, what do you guys think about that as a starter investment? Thanks.
I would not do it. Okay, not because of GLAD, because you're just starting. I think what you need to do when you don't have a lot of money and you want to get started, a good way to do it is there are dividend-paying ETFs, exchange-traded funds, which will give you great diversification. If you send me an email at investtalk.com, just click on Contact Steve, send me an email, I'll send you a short list of dividend-paying ETFs. That's where you should start. Not with individual companies, because it's a bit risky just buying one or two companies. Now, GLAD, G-L-A-D, Gladstone Capital, is a pretty good company, even though it's very, very small. And for you as a beginner, a very, very small company is a very risky for them. And I don't want you to get into the market and lose money and say, gee, this is a crazy play. I'm not going to do this because you're going to lose money. Well, you will if you do it that way. Buying one stock, very small, you'll lose money. Now, this is a decent company. It's out of McLean, Virginia. They make money. They make they're going to make 78 cents a share this year and 84 cents a share last year. But they made 84 cents a share in 2016 and made, and you know, the stock hasn't grown hardly at all. So it's for a small company, you like it to grow, even though it is paying a high dividend. That dividend is not secure. Okay, it's 8.5% dividend yield. That's what they're listed at. It's not secure. Insiders have been buying, so they have faith in their company. And management owns 6%. Well, it's a $252 million company. They should probably own more than 6%. The return on equity is not that great at 10%. So, it's not a company that I would invest in. I would not, because I don't think the prospects are good enough. But again, if you're just starting out, I think you need the dividend ETF. They pay 3 to 5%, but they have a bunch of companies in them, so they're less volatile and less risky. And that's how I think you should get started if you're interested in dividend-paying stocks. Now, if you're 18, you probably should be in the market and wait for a pullback in the market and buy the SPY or the S&P 500. That would be good. The SPY is the ETF for the S&P 500. Appreciate the call. What stock sector will lead us out next? Well, you'll be surprised. I'm going to probably say it's going to be financials. The financials. Okay, now, is the Dow going to give up? Yeah, the Dow has been up 10 consecutive days, but all of that has been less than 0.5% move a day. The S&P has been up 13 sessions, and the last 13 sessions up less than 3%, 0.3% a day. Very quiet period. As a matter of fact, this is the quietest period for the Dow and the S&P 500 in decades. Even though they've been making up and up and up, they're crawling up, which is not a bad thing. But it's been a very quiet day. So if there's no crash and the market continues higher, the financials are likely to lead the charge. Those generally are what lead the charge. Financial stocks. If they don't go up, the market generally does not go up. And you can look at an ETF for the financials, is XLF, the financial sector ETF, and look at a chart on, as I said, stockcharts.com. You'll see that it has kind of been slowly been marching up along with the market. If the market continues, they are probably going to lead. Now, when the economic cycle gets very late in the cycle, you find the utilities are the ones that are kind of safe to be in. But maybe we don't know where we are in the cycle. You would think it would be late because we've been in a long economic recovery. But the recovery has been kind of slow the whole way. Really, it has. So who knows for sure? I'm thinking the financials should continue to lead. If they don't, I'm not sure the market will continue to go up. Time's up for the hour. I'm going to visit with listeners in San Jose for individual portfolio reviews. I'll be in San Jose all day on the 23rd of August. To reserve your hour with me, just go to investtalk.com and click on Portfolio Review. I'm Financial Advisor Steve Peasley, President of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein and the whole family at KPP, thank you for being with us. Let's do it again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.